Hi everyone, this is Ari, the spiritual sinner. We're back after a little bit of a vacation, thanks to the wonderful Yontif and all the other stuff that kept us from people or OTD ITC people, or call us what you will, and a little bit busy. But now we're back. Hi Sarah, welcome.
Thank you, Ari. How was Yontif?
Yontif is great, wonderful, horrible, all at the same time. You know, there's some stuff I like about it, some stuff I don't like about it. You know, this new term that's being thrown around now, OTD ITC.
I thought that was the term you started.
I didn't start it. I just capitalized on it, I guess. I guess it stands for, I get a lot of people asking, what does ITC mean? So it basically means, off the derech in the closet, which means, to the rest of the world, we look like regular frum people on whatever level. But deep down inside, we're either totally not believers or totally not practicing or something like that. And for whatever reason, we're in the closet, similar to any other, be it a sexual thing or anything else that people hide, for the stigma of it or just not ready to take that leap of faith. But there's a large community out there, as you all know, who's OTD ITC. And thousands and thousands of people would probably fit that label on some level. But
Absolutely.
Yontif is actually, especially a long 2 or 3 day Yontif is when you see a lot of these people, because a lot of times, on Shabbos, Facebook or, the Facebook groups and stuff get quiet because people are, keeping Shabbos, But when you have a 2 day Yontif, many times I'll see people who, on a regular Shabbos are not there. Suddenly I see they are there. So you know that they're in the closet, so to speak, But be that as it may, I wanted to talk about something today, which I'm noticing a lot. Especially in social media groups and stuff where a lot of from almost from sometimes from OTD people hang out, is that a lot of these Kiruv people are lurking, trying to do their quote unquote L'shem Shemayim work to bring us back, either disingenuous or not inauthentic ways of pretending they're one of us, but really in there for the Kiruv. I got me thinking about this whole Kiruv and what it is and what it should be, what it could be, what it should not be, and stuff like that. So that's going to be today's topic. I mean, Kiruv has a place. I'm not going to say Kiruv is stupid because, again, if you believe in something, then you should be a poster child for that thing. And if and when someone comes to you for clarification, resources, information about whatever it is you believe in, yes, obviously you should be your best self and, be a poster child for that. On the other hand, the proselytizing, trying to get people who rejected, from Judaism for whatever reason, trying to get them back, or being disingenuous, coming onto groups, pretending you're one of the boys or girls and really have an undertone of Kiruv, which I'm seeing a lot, that to me in a way is a bigger sin than not being from, assuming it's a sin according to them.
Well, that's obviously not their point of view.
Yeah, obviously, because to them it's the end justifies the means, and like everyone needs to be from. Like, I was just, I have a lot of conversations with people at all levels of the spectrum, and what I'm finding a lot is that OTD, which again I hate that term, I hate labels and terms, but just to know who we're talking about, we use it. But there's like this school of thought out there amongst from people that anyone who's OTD has a problem. They're broken. They're in pain. They're mistaken. They're going through a dark time. Like, they really don't want to be there, but that's why we have to help them. They can't accept the fact, which is, overwhelmingly from what I see, more often than not, people who are OTD are very simply not interested in the from way. They're regular, good, smart, decent people who just not interested. This whole thing of like, oh, if you're OTD, you must have been through a traumatic experience. You must have been in pain and dark place. Let me help you. That's all bullshit. And it's, it's so like.
Let me just come in. I don't think it's bullshit. I think that there are that the root of people going OTD is a trauma, is a feeling of not belonging, and in a lot of cases, after you're out for a while, is a certain amount of discontentment with the way things are right now.
Yes, there are a lot of people like that, but there are also a lot of people who are just regular smart people who just after a while, or even for 30 years, like in my case, just I don't see the truth in what they're selling. And for whatever reason, I didn't leave all the way. Some people did take that step and left all the way because they're just not buying what they're selling. It doesn't mean that I was in a traumatic situation or that I'm in pain or that I'm in a dark place. It could just mean that intellectually, I don't buy what they're selling, and I just decided to go away. That's all. And not every person who decides to leave the fold is a basket case. And that's how they portray it. And that's how the cure people say, we're going to hang out here. We're going to see the people who are off. Oh, they must be in pain. Let's fix their pain. Let's show them that we accept them. But one sec, let me just say this acceptance thing is, I see this time and time again, whether it's myself or on the groups or with people telling me, that from people claim to accept OTD people. But the truth is they don't accept them only for the purpose of cure. I mean, as soon as they realize their cure advances are going to fail, suddenly they're not going to accept them anymore.
Right.
Or every time a from person is being nice to an OTD person or inviting them for Shabbos or inviting them for a meal or puts the arm around them and say, hey, talk to me, I'm here to listen. It's always with the objective and ultimately I'll make you from again. As soon as they realize that that's not happening, suddenly they're not nice anymore. Suddenly they're going to label you and they're going to they're gonna belittle you, and they're gonna paint you as a nebuch case, or someone who's just so much in pain that you know they don't mean it. Nebuch, you know, I hear that word bandied around a lot. Nebuch, nebuch, she's not from, or he's not from yet. As if like there's only one truth, and any Kiruv person that is only nice to someone for the objectives of Kiruv, and will only accept quote unquote you, you know, with the ultimate goal of your Makariv, and not as you are, is a problem. Same, just like, you know, the way they don't accept whether it's gay people or people who do things differently than them. You know, to them, a modern Orthodox person, if they're a right-wing Haredi, a modern Orthodox person to them is a nebuch. Right. Now, they don't look at them as that. We accept, you know, I believe this, you believe that, different level. No, to them, it's a nebuch. Oh, they're YU, they're modern, the young Israel, nebuch. We always putting them down, labeling them, never accepting for who people are. The only way they'll accept and smile and pretend they're nice is only in their mind, Kiruv time. That's what I'm seeing more and more.
You'll also hear stories of people who have been makarevd, and they're in it now, and then all of a sudden the support is gone. The, you know, the emotional support, the, you know, invitations and all that are gone because whoever makarevd them feels their job is done. And
of course, that's a topic in and of itself. I mean, the whole Baal Tshuva movement, the way they're treated is horrible. You know, they spend, like you said, so much time, energy, resources being makarevd people. The second person becomes quote unquote from. That's it. Now they're a BT and they're on their own. The way the from people, the FFBs treat Baal Tshuvas, you know, and the way they look down upon them and treat them as tier one, or tier two, or tier three, or second class citizens is something that can't be denied. It's a fact in the community. Yeah. You know, Baal Tshuvas come in and they have nowhere to go. When it comes to Shidduchim, forget about it. When it comes to getting into schools, we yeshivas forget about it. Baal Tshuva is like a scarlet letter.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, you know, it makes no sense. That just proves the disingenuity of what they're doing. Right? They're trying to be Makar of me. For what purpose? Not to help me. It's to help them. Yeah. It's to boost their numbers or their perception of from Judaism. Because once you're in the camp, they forget about you.
Yeah.
So that just proves that it's not that they care about you. It's that they care about them, about the tribe, about the labels, about the numbers, about the perception. You know, it's all a Gura or any of these from your organizations care about is that they should be able to say, look, we got the numbers.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the individual. And from Judaism, individuality means nothing. Right. And that's the root of all the problems. But again,
more than meaning nothing, it's not valued and it's bad. It's a bad thing.
Right, because in other words, all you are is a piece of the larger, quote-unquote, Klal Yisrael. Right. But as soon as you have your own way of thinking, your own way of doing things, your own way of believing, your own way of accepting what's around you or society, you're shunned. Again, and that's just proof that the Kiruv is not being done for the right reason. It's the ends justify the means, and the ends to them is to boost the numbers. Look, from Judaism is alive and well. I mean, every article you read today, whether it's about, you know, molestation or sexual assault or whatever, everything is just, all they care about is, like, making the tribe look good. Megan, we spoke about this 100 million times, but bottom line, it's the Kiruv that's done authentically, which I'm not going to say doesn't exist. It probably does exist on some level, but the Kiruv movement, so to speak, is nothing less than the missionaries and proselytizing of the Christian Catholics and Mormons and shit like that. It's not for the right reasons. It's not for the Shem Shemayim reasons. It's for the perception reasons, and I think it does more harm than good, you know, especially the people who are, you know, OTD and have to interact with, you know, from people who are trying to make them. It messes with their brain, you know? You know, and here you have someone trying to be nice to you, and it's not being done for the right reasons.
And I mean, it's counterproductive to their cause.
See, just the other day, I just tell a story. I was talking to somebody, a friend of mine, and she's like, so this from friend of mine invited me for Shabbos, you know, because, you know, I want to be Makar of me. But didn't say that. She said, come for Shabbos. So I said, oh, great, no problem. So she goes, go on, I'll come Shabbos day. So she's like, no, you have to come before Shabbos. So she's like, no, I'm not coming to your house the whole Shabbos, no interest. But if you want me to come Shabbos day for a meal, I'll come. And she said, forget it, you can't come. In other words, she won't let her come because she's being quote unquote Mechallel Shabbos. So right. She's only doing it for Kiruv, not doing it to be nice authentically, like accept that I'm not Shem Shabbos. No, you can only come to my house if you accept Shabbos.
Right.
If you don't accept Shabbos, I stop accepting. Like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
You know, but this is what's going on. So in my mind, Kiruv, like anything else, if it's not being done for the right reasons, then it's worthless and counterproductive.
You know, I find it interesting that in certain Facebook groups, you know, men especially will come at me with the Kiruv in the beginning. And the second they realize that it's not going to work, they then start with the sexual stuff. So there's two.
Yeah. See, men will be men, you know, ultimately, even
that's
the ones who are doing
Kiruv. But okay.
Yeah. No, of course, it's not an excuse. What I'm saying is either it's, you know, the Kiruv is just like a ploy to get into your pants, which is definitely a possibility.
Yeah,
okay. Or maybe, you know, in their mind, Kiruv is a wonderful thing that they subconsciously try to do. But as soon as they realize that's done, okay, no Kiruv, fine. At least let me walk away with a consolation prize. Let's fuck. You know?
Yeah.
Again, which is obviously not excusing that stupidity and the crudeness, but that's how they think. You know, it just goes to show and prove my point, even that to them they may be quote unquote from and think that being a Kiruv is a wonderful thing, but ultimately, it's not real. Because if you were really real and Kirov, then how could you even go make an advance at a woman that's forbidden to you? Isn't that against what you're preaching? The answer is they don't even know what the fuck they're preaching. They're preaching right. Because that's what they're conditioned to preach, exactly. Right? And as soon as that's over, okay, page 2, let's fuck, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so it's just
funny. I mean, to me, it's funny because I've been out of it long enough to know what the game is. And things like this have happened, and I'm sure it's happened to a lot of women more than once. So I think it's just it's just sort of an interesting thought process.
I have news to you, Sarah. It's not just women. It happens to men, too. I mean, I have many men, you know, who hit on me, you know, when they chat with me on Facebook or other places. You know, we could be talking about, you know, theological things or anything else, and ultimately they'll hit on me. I'm like, I don't swing that way, you know, if I even respond to them at all. But it doesn't matter to them. You know, they'll just go after anyone and anything that has pants or a skirt, depending on what they're interested in.
Which to me just kind of shows the lack of depth that there is in the community for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
And it's a shame. It really is. So what would you recommend to the people who do Kirov, and maybe it comes from a good place? How would you suggest that they come at it?
Well, first of all, I would suggest 2 things. First of all, don't be Makar of people who are not interested. First of all, anyone who's OTD most likely is there for a reason, and it's not going to work here. I mean, if someone who was raised not from, you want to be Makar of them, you know, introduce them to Judaism and give them some education, I hear that. Most people who are OTD for whatever reason most likely will not respond to your Kirov. That's A. But B, I think they should be doing it unconditionally, meaning acceptance. Accept people no matter what. You know, if you approach me knowing that even if I don't respond to your Kirov advances, you're still going to accept me, still going to like me, still going to talk to me, then maybe you'll have a chance. But if you have a preconceived notion that I'm only going to talk to this guy and pretend I like him and smile at him if Kirov is an option, but as soon as that option is off the table, then I'm going to move on to a different target and forget that he even exists and totally like block him, that's probably not the way to go. Because, you know, number one in Kirov and Judaism and anything is acceptance. So if you can accept me for who I am, then we have a chance of having a conversation. And listen, you know, if you want to prove to me that everything I believe and do is wrong, I'm open to conversation. I'm open to debate. You know, it's not a, you know, you have a freedom and a right to try to convince me or talk to me and explain to me things, but the right goes both ways. You have to listen to me too. See, if when you accept me as a human being who I am, then I'm all but happy to sit and talk about anything under the sun. But if you have a preconceived notion and a conditional acceptance, that's in my book is no good.
All right, well, there you have it.
Well, thanks again for listening, guys. That's today's segment of the Spiritual Sinner podcast. As always, you can reach out to me via email at thespiritualsinner@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook, The Spiritual Sinner fan page. You can check out our blog at thespiritualsinner.com. And we appreciate you listening, and we're always looking forward to everyone's feedback. And if you have any friends that would benefit from listening, please let them know about it. And we do have an OTD ITC Facebook group. It's a secret group, so you're not going to find it on Facebook. But if you or someone you know is an OTD ITC individual, by all means, please send me an email, and we will add you to that group.
I
do want to add that if you're coming to the group under the guise of Kirov, we will figure it out and boot you. Yeah, go ahead. Wow.
I would also love to hear people's Kirov stories, so post those either in comments on the website or in the group.
Absolutely. Well, thanks again. This is Ari, the Spiritual Sinner, and Sarah, my sidekick, and we hope you listen and enjoy, and we will talk to you again, hopefully sooner than the space between the last 2 segments. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye.